We're going to pick up with lesson number 4. Last time we had begun lesson number 4, we're looking in Zechariah. We're continuing our study in the book of Zechariah. And we're in Zechariah chapter 2 right now, in verses 4 through 13. If you look at your course outline, we're looking under lesson number 4. Roman numeral 2, we begin looking at the promises proceeding from the vision. And we left off, and we want to pick up with promise number 4, D on your outline. The nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. And again, we see that in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. So the nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. We see in verse number 8, we see the glory. The glory of verse 8 is a reference to the second advent of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at some other references. First, turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 61. Isaiah chapter number 61 with me. Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible declares, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And of course, that's going to be the condition of Israel. They will be brokenhearted. Amen. They will be captive. They will be bound and in prison. Amen. But at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and free them, and liberty will be proclaimed in Zion. And Israel will no longer be under bondage to the Antichrist and his system. Amen. And the Lord certainly will be glorified then. Also, we see in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 17, the Gospel of Matthew with me, please. Chapter number 17. And what we have here is the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, which pictures the second advent when he will be glorified. In Matthew chapter 17, we read in verse number 1, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." That 6 days is a very important prophetic reference. I just want to make a note of it and point it out. We know that the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And we know after 6,000 years, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return after 6,000 years of human history. And this is what we have pictured here. "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, that's Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt let us, make us here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be arisen again from the dead. So here we have a picture of foreshadowing of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ when he would return in his glorified body. There have been and always will be, until the Lord straightens this all out, those who would dare touch the apple of God's eye. And of course, that's Israel. Israel. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy number 32 with me in verse number 10. He found him in a desert land and in the waste hollowing wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And of course, this is a reference to Israel in Deuteronomy and how he led him about, amen, in the desert, in the wilderness, and took care of Israel. We also see in Psalm 17 with me, in verse number 8, Psalm 17, 8. In Psalm 17, 8, again we have a reference to Israel. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And of course, the psalmist here is David, and he's talking about that the Lord would protect him and protect Israel. Amen. God's glory cannot be fully manifested until the enemies of Israel have been dealt with. The Lord will yet restore Israel. He will vindicate himself in truthfulness and faithfulness. His glory is inseparably linked with promises and blessings of Israel. He cannot be glorified as long as his people live in disgrace, in persecution. So no matter how much land is given up there in Israel, someday it's going to be returned. No matter how many peace treaties the United States of America forces Israel into, amen, and I believe that God doesn't favor that at all. I think we're putting ourselves, this country, in a precarious position when we force Israel to give up the land that God has given them. When God shakes his hands, things happen. Look at Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 11 with me. The prophet Isaiah, chapter number 11, in verse number 15. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of that Egyptian sea. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Just with the shaking of his hand, he can make a river dry up, amen. Looking in Isaiah chapter 19, verse number 16 with me. In that day shall Egypt be like unto a woman, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. God's judgment on these spoiling nations will be to place them in a position of servitude. Look again with me into the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. That's why it's so important, my dear friend, to study the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, each and every 66 books of this Bible, amen, of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring their sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers, and they shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. What a humble position those nations who took advantage and persecuted Israel, amen, during the great tribulation, amen. They're going to bow their face towards Israel and lick up the dust of their feet. They're certainly going to be brought low by the Lord's mighty hand. So then we see, as we're looking at on our outline, we're looking under lesson number 4, point number 2, promises proceeding from the vision. We see then that the nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. Now, the last promise that we want to see, and it will close out lesson number 4, is the earth will be prepared for full millennial blessing. And we see, let's turn back to Zechariah chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 10 to the end of the chapter, verse 13. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. So we see that the earth will be prepared for full millennial blessing. Amen. By the Messiah in the midst of Jerusalem. That's how it's going to be prepared. The Lord Jesus Christ will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. We just read that in verse number 10 of Zechariah chapter 2. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. The reason for the command to sing and rejoice is, for lo, I come. This is not a reference to the first coming of Christ, but the second coming. And I will dwell is a promise of which Israel is well familiar. We see references of it. Let's look at a couple of references. And, of course, these references are referring to the dwelling of the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle in the wilderness. So this wasn't something strange or unfamiliar to the children of Israel. Look at in Exodus chapter 25 with me. Exodus 25 in verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And of course, it's referring to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Look it with me also in Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter number 5. We see in Numbers chapter number 5 in verse number 3 with me. Numbers 5, verse number 3. Both male and female shall ye put out without the camp, shall put you them out that defile not the camp in the midst whereof I dwell. Again, a reference to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Again, we're looking at the earth will be prepared for full millennial blessing by the proclamation of the message of salvation to the nations. Look at, get in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11, and see what it says. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. We see that many nations will be saved in that day. And shall be my people, and will dwell, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Isaiah foretells of strangers joined to Israel. Looking in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 1. In Isaiah 14:1, the Bible declares, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." In doing so, these strangers will in all actuality be joined to the Lord. Amen. Israel will draw converts to her Lord. And we see this spoken of, and again, as we look in Isaiah chapter 2 with me, see, again, Israel is going to return to their purpose, which original purpose was to be a light unto the Gentiles. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Israel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords and plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So we see that many people, many nations, will come up to Jerusalem and worship, because the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted, and all nations will flow to it, will be drawn to it. Look at also in chapter 60 with me of Isaiah, chapter 60 in verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. So we see then, literally, that the nation of Israel is going to draw converts to her Lord. Look it with me also in Zechariah, if we turn back to Zechariah, in chapter number 8 of Zechariah. Chapter number 8 in Zechariah, verse 20 to 23 of Zechariah 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, and saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people, strong nations, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Again, what a marvelous blessing. What a marvelous, wonderful promise that the nation of Israel will draw many converts to her Lord. Many nations, according to the word of God, will become, as the Lord declares, my people. Look it with me in Isaiah, chapter number 56. Isaiah, chapter number 56 with me. Isaiah 56, in verses 3 through 6. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant. And then we also see in Psalm 102, the Bible tells us in Psalm 102, verses 14 to 23, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory, and he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people shall be created, shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from the heaven to the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those who are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. And we see again, we're looking at the promise that the earth will be prepared for the full millennial blessing by specially encouraging promises to Palestine and Jerusalem. And we see this as if we go back to Zechariah chapter number 2, verse number 12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his person, and the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Even though the salvation of the Gentiles is of the uttermost importance to God, he has some special blessings for his people. For example, if we turn to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah again, in verse number 19, Isaiah chapter 19, excuse me, verse 24 and 25, in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Look at also Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, talking about Israel, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. We also see, lastly, as the earth will be prepared for a full millennial blessing, by the personal and visible coming of the Messiah. We see, in again, going back to Zechariah chapter 2, Verse 13, be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And we read in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep him silence before him. So we have concluded the promises proceeding from the vision that was found in Zechariah 2, verses 13. And that ends lesson number 4. Now we're going to pick up with lesson number 5. In lesson number 5 is going to cover Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. As we see there on our outline of lesson 5, we have three areas that we want to cover in lesson 5. We see the vision of defiled and condemned Israel under the figure of Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Then we see the vision of pardoned Israel in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. And then point number 3, restored Israel under the figure of Messiah, the branch, in Zechariah 3, verses 8 to 10. In the preceding visions, the marvelous persons of God's purposes of God's grace toward Israel appear in the judgment of her enemies. And the restoration of both the land and the people. But a crucial question arises. How can an infinitely holy God accomplish such a plan with a sinful and blemished people? This, the fourth vision in a series of 8, that discloses the transformation of the nation from self-righteousness to the righteousness of God. And we must remember that Paul, in Romans chapter 3, wrote in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We want to look now at the vision, point number 1 in lesson 5, the vision of defiled and condemned Israel under the figure of Joshua, the high priest. Let's go back to Zechariah, and let's read beginning Zechariah chapter 3, we'll read down the first 3 verses. And he showed me a Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. First of all, we want to look at the personalities involved. The personalities involved. Joshua the high priest. Now this is Joshua, son of Joshedek, spoken of in Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 14, in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, and also Zechariah chapter 6, verse 11. He was the high priest at the time of the rebuilding of the temple. Also, we see another personality that's identified, that's involved, is the angel of the Lord. And as it has been demonstrated in previous lessons, this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Satan. Both the angel of the Lord and Satan are standing, one to serve, the other to resist. Satan stands often as Israel's adversary, as he did in the life of David, for example. Look in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles with me. First Chronicles chapter 21. And First Chronicles chapter 21. And verse 1. The Bible declares, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." No wonder Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Satan's present activity is one of opposition and resistance to Joshua the high priest, because God's servant, by his sin, has given occasion to Satan to attack. And this is in accordance with a truth emphasized throughout the Bible, that sin exposes the sinner to satanic attacks, not only in the case of unbelievers, and we see this in Matthew, if you turn with me, Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, and verses 43 to 45, "And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." So we see the truth emphasized throughout the Bible that sin exposes a sinner to satanic attack, not only in the case of unbelievers, as we just saw, but believers as well. Let's look in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians with me, chapter number 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a case of a man committing fornication with his father's wife in the church at Corinth. We're not doing anything about it. And Paul rebukes them and admonishes them. The man wouldn't cease. And he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So he said, turn him over to Satan. Turn his flesh over to Satan, amen. If he doesn't want to get right, amen. Look at also in the first epistle of John, chapter 5. First epistle of John, chapter number 5. And verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. That sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Yes, we know there is a sin unto death. Sometimes when a Christian will not cease from a particular sin that God's been trying to deal with them over a period of time, amen, then God may take that Christian home early. Now, well, again, we're looking in lesson number 5 under point number 1, the vision of defiled and condemned Israel under the figure of Joshua the high priest. We've just looked at the personalities involved. Now we want to look at God's rebuke. God's rebuke. And again, turning back to Zechariah chapter number 3, we see there's a fire mentioned in verse number 2. Rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? The fire in verse 2 here of Zechariah chapter 3 represents not only the Babylonian captivity from which Joshua had been plucked when the nation was almost reduced to ashes in the 70-year ordeal, but it also prophetically demonstrates the worldwide suffering of Israel until she is delivered at the second advent. Whatever the charges of Satan may have been, they are proven by God to be ridiculously unreasonable. Can the faithfulness of God toward Israel be seriously questioned when he allowed the bush to burn? But as he showed Moses in the desert, will not allow it to be consumed. And of course, this is referring, we see this in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 to 8. Now also we want to look at Joshua's clothing. Joshua's clothing. We see in verse number 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. The filthy garments worn by Joshua are representative of the sins of all Israel, including her apostasy, infidelity, and notably her miserable self-righteousness and her rejection of the Messiah. Joshua's silence before Satan's accusation is proof of their guilt. Let's move on to the next point. The second point of lesson number 5, the vision of pardon Israel. The vision of pardon Israel. Let's look in again Zechariah chapter 3, and we'll read down through verses 4 to 7. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. We see in verse number 4, Israel is fully pardoned. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The Lord's reply is addressed to those doubtlessly angels who were standing before him. In verse 7, we see gives further clarification. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, and thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. The act performed by the angelic attendants is symbolic not only of the forgiveness of sin and justification of the nation Israel in a future day of her conversion, but of the individual sinner who trust Christ as Israel someday will. Two elements appear. First, the negative. We see, remove the filthy garments from him, emblematic of the cleansing of sin. Look at it in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3 with me. In Romans 3, Romans chapter 3 with me, verse number 25. To whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And then again we see in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter number 1 with me in verse number 7. We see this cleansing. Amen. Cleansing of sin in Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And then we see the positive. Clothed him with a change of raiment, portraying the imputation of the righteousness of God in Christ to the believing sinner. We see it, first of all, in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Again in Romans chapter 3, we read in Romans 3 and verse 22, even the righteousness of Christ, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans 3:22 and Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifieth of him which believeth in Jesus. So what a beautiful picture, amen, not only of the pardon, the full pardon of Israel in the future, but also it pictures also the conversion, amen, of the individual sinner who trusts Christ as their Savior, amen. They're cleansed of their sin, amen. The removal of their filthy garments, their self-righteousness. Of course, the Bible tells us that our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And then the positive, as we are cleansed from our sins, as that old garment is removed, amen. The positive, we're put on the righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of God in faith in Christ, amen. What a blessing we have. What a blessing. So we see then also the vision of the pardon Israel. Israel is fully repositioned in verse 5 of Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3:5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Israel is fully repositioned. The prophet was so carried away with enthusiasm by the sight of the cleansing and the clothing of the high priest that he interrupted the proceedings with a personal request for the mitre to be placed upon the head of the priest. This signifies the complete reinstatement, the highly priestly function in deed as well as in truth. The mitre bore upon its front a gold-plated engraved holiness to the Lord. We see this in Exodus 28:36, and indicated that Joshua was morally and spiritually cleansed as Israel will be to minister in an office that uniquely demanded this qualification. And then we see also the covenant of the priesthood is renewed in Zechariah 3, verses 6 and 7. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Israel in the future kingdom will be fully reinstated nationally to high priestly fellowship with God and high priestly ministry to the nations for God. And we read about this in Romans, if you turn there, Romans chapter 11 with me. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verses 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unto godliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Future blessing, amen, for Israel. God is not through with Israel. He's not through with Israel. When the time of the fullness of the Gentiles is over, he will again deal with the apple of his eye, his chosen people, amen. They will be converted according to the word of God. Well, we're going to stop there. we'll continue a lesson 5 and we'll finish it up in our next session in our study in the book of Zechariah.